the future. The polar ice caps have melted, covering the Earth with water. Those who survived have adapted to a new world.
Ahoy, mateys.
What up?
We're here. It's Brunch Movies. We're on the open seas, the seven seas.
Well, it can't be seven seas if it's all one sea.
Right. It's kind of like the opposite of Pangaea. Well, that's what people are realizing more and more. What was the line? People are talking about it more and more. Is that, you know, Pangaea, everyone knows, right? The time when it was just one continent, right?
One land.
Not seven continents, but just one continent. Not a lot of people talk about how there was just one ocean at that time.
It is disappointing that they don't talk about the water. Everything's about land. Everything's about dirt.
Yeah, it's all about one big continent, never about the one big ocean that we have.
Yeah.
And technically, Dave, if you think about it, don't we still just have one big ocean? It's just artificial lines that men are drawing.
Yeah, you think a whale cares if it's in the waters off the coast of Norway getting slaughtered or off the coast of Japan getting slaughtered? It's still getting slaughtered. It doesn't matter where the line boundary is, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that more consideration of the oceans, kind of, we should do that, you know?
But I think it has to start with Pangaea.
Yeah.
We have to go all the way back, and we have to, until we can appreciate the one ocean that existed in the times of Pangaea, then we can never hope to appreciate the oceans that we have now.
I mean, maybe that's the key to, like, unlocking Republican resistance to climate change and stuff, is start explaining, well, do you guys remember Pangaea? And, I mean, they would definitely be like, oh, you mean that was, like, basically America before America, you know? The one great continent, you know. But look, man, this is the epic season of the podcast called Brunch Movies, and we have watched an epic movie for this episode.
And what makes this movie epic, Dave? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, okay. Well, it's high concept, highfalutin concept. It's entirely on water, which is pretty fucking epic. You know,
I would say it's epic because at the time it was made, it was the most expensive movie ever made.
It cost $175 million in 1990, money?
Did it only cost that much? I thought it cost a little more.
No, but if you inflate it to today's prices, it's $300 million, which movies just didn't cost back then, you know, to make.
Right. Nowadays, when you have to pay thousands of Chinese people to CGI 45 minutes of a film,
it's beautiful. I'm sorry, but I thought it was a gorgeous movie. Although the real life sets they made for this, you know, I heard like the only CG budget was just making Kevin Costner's hair less crazy. You know, like that was what I heard.
Yeah,
it was insane.
So this movie was called Waterworld.
I gotta start, man. I loved this movie growing up. So, which sounds so dumb, but you know, when you're like 10 and you see, you know, Kevin Costner's kind of a badass, you don't really like factor in that he's doing a lot of bad things and he's lacking charisma, barely talks. He's just kind of this fish man who, Kevin Costner has gills in this movie and he kicks ass. You know, he could swim real fast. He shoots guns well, even though like he shouldn't know how to do that very well. I mean, you got this badass Kevin Costner, and then everything's on water. And I liked water. Everyone likes water, so.
Yeah, so it's kind of the opposite of what we've been doing. This, you know, a lot of epics are set in the desert.
Yeah.
And now we're going all water, okay?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think that the ocean is clean, or do you think the desert is clean?
Well, you get all the salt on you, which is sand-like, right?
Yeah, it is sand-like.
You know, like you get all salty out of the ocean. You just smell like ocean, brackish water. I don't know, man. I think you might be onto something. I think the sand might be a cleaner alternative. The desert's probably cleaner than the ocean at this point in human history.
Yeah, I was noticing, and we'll get into the plot here, but there's not that much plastic floating around. You know, we're currently in the what's it? What do they call it? The Paleostene or something like that.
Yeah.
We're at the point where geologists in the future are going to mark our era based on the, like, humans are contributing more to what's in the ground than nature is. And so there's just all these plastic and, like, chicken bones everywhere, right? And we're all, no, seriously, it's like the amount of chicken bones that just exist all over the world is unprecedented in the history of the world for a single animal to just be, like, scattered over that much ground. But I digress. There's not that much plastic, you know? You'd think, like, there'd be a scene where Costner's, like, getting caught in, like, a six-pack, like, one of those rings around the six-pack of beer, you know?
Right.
He's like, he's got to cut himself out. Someone's like, this is why you always trim your six-pack holders. Do they even make those anymore? Have you seen a six-pack that's, like, attached by those little, like, plastic rings in a while?
Not, Japan never really did it much. It was more of an American thing, I think. You know, like, Japan had the, there was always in the cardboard. The six packs, even. You know what I mean? Mm. Seems like it was more of an American, because American, you know. Well, regardless, that would have been so good, though, if they, like, instead of handcuffs, they used those, you know, cuffed, you just get plastic rings or something. They should have gone full on, like, cheesy plastic is bad for the earth type approach. That would have been really good.
Yeah. I'd say there's a lot of holes in the lore in this movie, but we should maybe go through that. We should maybe go through the plot.
There's no way.
So this is set in the future where the polar ice caps have melted, therefore covering the entire world in water, or so we think. So cities are buried in water. Presumably even, you know, Mount Everest is covered in water, right? Like the highest peak on Earth is underwater. No one can find land anywhere. It's just a myth. And finding dirt is an important piece. We meet the what's his name, the sailor, the captain.
They call him the Mariner. There's no
the Mariner.
Yeah,
Kevin Costner. He's a loner out at sea, and he's trying to trade some dirt. He's got a shit ton of dirt. I don't know where he gets it. Well, doesn't he get it just by, like, swimming down?
He just
to the
swims down
the
and then grabs it. Yeah. What you think? You know, people could just use anchors. Do they not believe there's? I guess people don't know there's ground underneath the water anymore, which makes no sense because where do they think paper comes from or something? You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that don't make sense. Also, what happened as, you know, society crumbled that submarines no longer exist, but boats do? Or even just, like, the ability, you know, people were diving before we had submarines, right? People would do deep sea, like, for pearl diving and things like that.
Right, yeah. They should be.
People are able to dive underwater and swim a distance. Like, humans have done that. So for some reason people don't know that there's land and they build these, like, ocean top. I mean, even like that atoll that they go to. So one of the first things that happens is he goes to the atoll to trade. Is that not built on any solid ground at all?
No, it's a floating atoll because the jet skis go underneath. I remember.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's just floating. So that also doesn't make sense how that is even just floating there. Like, it's not a boat. It's what
is it more to,
build
right?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the idea being that it's, if there is an atoll, because the entire flash, the ocean bottom isn't uniformly, like, deep, right? Yeah. So why would they know to call it an atoll rather than, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And if it isn't, and they can see down below and be like, oh, there is stuff below us, well, then they would know that's where the dirt's coming from. Let's go get the dirt, you know? Like, so.
Yeah. And so then we got the bad guys, the smokers, which were cool because they just smoke cigarettes. Mm. Which, where do the cigarettes come from?
Yeah, what are the cigarettes made of? You know, that was.
Are they old cigarettes? Like, have cigarettes survived
hundreds
all the
of
way
year?
To water world
hundreds of where, years yeah.
without tobacco farms.
Maybe there's some, like, you know, greenhouse city or something. I'm sure there's, like, there would have been the potential for a ton of different types of cities, because they do mention slavers, and apparently that was cut, but there was, like, a slaver group, the smoker group, the atoll group.
We heard about that place. They was all killed. That's why they didn't say.
Smokers?
Maybe smokers, maybe slavers.
Yeah, so there's some bad dudes cruising the oceans.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they go deep on the lore. I think it's pretty cool. You know,
they go so deep right away. It's kind of awesome. They just are like...
When the Mariner runs into another person, it's like, there must be a trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like these things about the culture that we're just supposed to kind of understand, and how money is used, how dirt is valued. There's a lot of like random religions thrown in.
Right.
The smokers, their saint is the captain of the Exxon Valdez, the ship that ran ashore and at the time was the biggest oil spill of all time. Did you know that? Like, I actually looked that up afterwards. I was like, huh? Like, what? Yeah. What is going on here? That boat just like stuck around for like another 30 years. They just renamed it.
Oh, really?
They just repaired it and like renamed it and sold it to different companies. And it was just no longer called the Exxon Valdez.
But it
wasn't like that. Yeah, that boat just like the hull was breached. It leaked a bunch of oil. They just patched it right back up and put it back to work.
Jesus Christ.
Should have done that with the Titanic.
Yeah, man. I mean, why not bring it up from the ocean and get it back into work?
Kevin Costner really should have like dove down to the Titanic and been like, "See, this is the Titanic. This is the heart of the ocean."
How much water do you think the emerald or the diamond of what was it? Was a Titanic diamond the heart of the ocean?
Yeah, the heart of the ocean. Yeah.
How much water could that fetch? Yeah.
And this movie came out what 2 years before Titanic?
That's right. So this movie's budget was only surpassed by Titanic, at least in.
Do you think that James Cameron saw this and was just like, "Fuck you, I'm the water guy. Like I just like I love water," because he had already done The Abyss, right? Which was about, right. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Do you think he was like, "God damn it! Like I'm gonna be the guy that makes a movie about water." Yeah, I'm the water guy.
Yeah,
I'm the water boy. When did Water Boy come out? Was that around this time?
96, 97, I guess.
Was it that early?
Maybe 98. I don't know.
Let's. Gatorade not only quenches your thirst better, it tastes better too, idiot.
You're drinking the wrong water.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Gatorade.
Water
sucks. It really, really sucks.
Adam Sandler would have been great in this movie, though. I kept running through my head the entire time. Be like,
Waterboy came out in 98, so it was 1 year after Titanic. So this is a great run for water.
Good water. You know, maybe Lawrence of Arabia, all the sand epics took place in the 60s, you know, like the Ben-Hurs and the 10 Commandments, the 50s and the 60s. Maybe the 90s was the decade of epic water movies, you know?
Here's another interesting fact. The same summer, I mean, this was a summer blockbuster. It had to be, right?
I don't know if anyone would call this a blockbuster. But it was probably released in the summer.
1995 in May, the song Waterfalls by TLC was released.
Oh my God. The 90s are the decade of water, dude.
The video had that cool CGI where, like, the girls turned into, like, water.
Yeah, that was tight.
Remember that? Yeah. And that was probably the technology pioneered by James Cameron a couple of years ago in Terminator 2.
And in this movie, Kevin Costner ain't no scrub. He's a kick-ass fighter. And
is he a pigeon?
He, you know, there's just a ton of lore. Maybe we should open up the lore drawer real quick. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we should. Yeah.
That's not how it was in the book.
I just wanted to know how you interpreted this lore of the magnetic poles shifting and the effects that would have, you know. So the only reason no one can read Enola, who's a girl who has like a godlike tattoo.
With an arrow pointing to a mountain.
To a mountain. That's and just some coordinates that no one can read or has any way of knowing where they are. Right?
Yeah.
So which way are we rolling?
I don't have a goddamn clue. Don't worry. They'll roll for a month before they figure out I'm faking it.
But, what?
Oh, you want details.
Well, I'm not telling these savages that we haven't solved the map yet. Now, I promised them results, and I'll get them if I gotta cut them out of her goddamn back.
But the key to it, the key to this entire movie, is that the Mariner, Kevin Costner, knew that the poles flipped from where they were hundreds of years ago, right?
Mm.
Did you ever read about that conspiracy theory, like the fear? Because the poles have flipped a few times, and over, people are like actually drastically concerned about that. It's kind of funny.
Isn't that the plot of the movie The Day After Tomorrow?
Is it Day After Tomorrow?
Or is that like the? That's not the something flips, like the direction of the polar winds flip in that.
Yeah. And
it's not the polarity though.
It's one disaster movie, right? Where maybe that's the prequel to this movie. That could very well be it. Is it The Day After Tomorrow? It could be The Core, something where the core is restarted and they like need to like and the poles are flipping or something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah. But those are prequels to this movie starring Kevin Costner.
Sure.
And also I like in the lore of this movie that he is a mutant and not only the only mutant they've encountered. They've encountered other mutants because they start being like, we need to murder Kevin Costner. So there's other.
Yeah.
And I'm always wondering, like, what are the other mutants like? Do they have like fins? Because he has the unique gills, right? He can breathe underwater. Mm.
Mutation!
Maybe it's like LL Cool J in his is it Deep Blue Sea, that movie where he sings deepest bluest, my head is like a shark's fin.
Yeah. We should put that movie, that song. My head is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my head is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my head is like a shark's fin.
Deepest, bluest, my head is like a shark's fin. Which is like kind of an interesting thing too, because it's like a shark's fin is not its head. No. It's like in the middle. It's like a spine.
Right. My head is
so like why would your head be like a shark's fin?
Your head would be like a shark's
head. Is that even the fin? Is the thing on your back a fin or are your fins your flippers?
I don't know. I think he's okay with the terminology of fin, but your head can't be a fin. Maybe the crown of your head is a fin. Is that what he's trying to, you know, he should have been more specific. But, I mean, a lot of people have criticized LL Cool J for not being a specific rapper, you know.
Okay, so it turns out their arms and the things on their back are both fins.
Yeah. That's good lore right there.
Did you know that sharks have something called the anal fin?
No. Is that the...
Yeah.
What is that? Yep. What is the anal fin?
Well, you know, they've got their... They got their like arm fins, and then you move a little bit down the belly. You follow the trail to paradise, and then you find the pelvic fin.
Mm.
And then after the pelvic fin comes the anal fin.
Does like poop shit out of the fin?
Yeah, that's what they poop out of the end of it. And then you go a little further, and you've got the caudal fin. That's like the fin that's part of the tail. Then if you loop up onto the top. You got in front. You got the primary dorsal fin and the secondary dorsal fin.
I mean, Kevin Costner definitely had an anal fin in this movie. There's no way.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like why he's so embarrassed about sleeping with women. He's like, look,
yeah.
Before we bang, I'm not gay. It's just I have an anal fin type situation. You're gonna be very confused by it.
No man stays out that long and turns down a woman. He's hiding something.
Maybe he's a smoker spy.
So let's see, what other lore is there in this movie? Did you do any deep dives in the lore?
I mean, I was obsessed with this movie, so I was just reading all about it, you know, and they don't really explain it well, but Enola is kind of like a Moses-like figure, where they found her just floating in a basket with a tattoo as a baby, and then in the end you find out that her parents must have known they're dying from what we don't know, but they died peacefully in their beds. And they just pushed her out to sea as a baby. And that's how she was found, you know. So she's a bit of a, I don't know, I guess a Moses-like character parting the oceans to find the land or, you know. Mm. So
there's some biblical stuff going on.
A little bit of biblical stuff going on.
And I like how the slavers speak Portugreek.
Yeah, Portugreek was kind of cool, right? Yeah.
It's a mix of what, Portuguese and Greek?
I imagine that's the case, yeah. It's their native language, which is...
English! Is that because the Portuguese and the Greek are known like sailors?
Oh, I didn't connect it. I just assumed that maybe the Portuguese and the Greek survived the
Portuguese were definitely traders, right? Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, in Japan, Dejima, the island, was with the Portuguese.
Yeah. This is some. That's not even lore. That's just history.
It's just history, guys.
Do you think history is the original lore?
Kind of. You know, I think that definitely inspired this movie was history. You know, who's your favorite historian? Yeah.
That's my favorite historian.
Yeah.
Probably James Cameron and the way he documented the events of the Titanic.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really good one. I like you know, I don't want to speak to his politics, but I really like the way that Ben Shapiro talks about history. That's like something I'm really
is he a historian?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean,
all you have to do is talk about history once, and that makes you a historian.
Makes you a historian, and he talks really fast, so I learn real quick. You know,
there are people who talk about catastrophic climate change, millions of migrants suddenly running around the world, Miami underwater.
Yeah,
we're all dead within a century and a half. So a certain catastrophic level.
We will not all be dead in a century and a half.
No, and
we'll just flood all our coastlines.
Well, and by flooding all our coastlines, it's not going to be immediate. You mean that there will be a gradual increase in sea level.
However,
which can be mitigated in certain ways, presumably.
However, consider that most of the world's most important cities are on the water's edge.
In the book, that part was much better.
That's good. That's great.
That's good.
Actually.
Yeah. This is a great segment of the lore drawer. What do you think? Any other lore?
Yeah. Meh.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's, for a movie that's just rich in lore. Is this like maybe the last movie that just would like won't have a sequel? Didn't they make like some video games or something?
Two,
or is one coming
two
out?
Two video games. One was unreleased. But there was like Waterworld, The Search for Dry Land. I think that was for Super Nintendo.
I feel like they like announced like a new Waterworld game or something.
Oh, really?
Maybe not. Maybe there's some like maybe it's Avatar. Maybe Avatar is getting a new video game.
That would be kind of cool. That's what it is. I'd play an Avatar.
I mean, Avatar and this movie are kind of in the same vein.
Yeah.
So yeah, the plot. So the girl has the thing on her. Okay, so we're out of the lore drawer.
Yeah, we're out of the lore drawer. Get it out of here.
So the girl has a map on her back that leads to dry land. Therefore, the smokers are looking for her. And so the girl gets captured. Kevin Costner rescues her, and then in a Deus Ex Machina, a guy with a hot air balloon, who's I guess the only person to ever think of this,
Grigor,
grabs them. And somehow the hot air balloon is faster than boats, which is not true.
No, it's very fast. It gets them around the world in like 2 days.
Yeah. You know? And so he rescues her. And then like 2 days later, they're like, oh, we cracked the map. Okay, here's a giant island that. Yeah. How did no one see
how
that?
Do you not find it? How do you not find it?
And how did the horses get there?
And how has no one found it and no one like shared where it is, you know? I guess it's like Eden,
people,
right?
People Maybe. Knew. And like the people there were like dead, right? Like it's like
those were Enola's parents who tattooed her to get her safety and have people find dry land or something.
Right, but why did they die and send her away? Like what happened there?
They didn't explain.
The horses survived.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So they easily so the movie kind of just goes all over the place and then like and then they find dry land. And Kevin Costner's like, fuck this. I've got my dry legs. You know, it's like sea legs.
Yeah. I'm a man of the sea. But, I'm going back out, Brandy.
Well, I mean, he is a muto, so.
He is a muto. I mean, but and his name is the Mariner. You can't be named the Mariner on dry land, you know?
Yeah, it seems like, though, he could, you know, strike a balance. Like, okay, I guess I'll like patrol these waters and make sure no one else comes here, or I'll seek out, you know, kind survivors and bring them here.
I think that's
to,
what
like,
he
restart society.
Yeah, I think that's like the idea is that he looks for nice people that he judges. Okay, they're allowed to come to dry land or something. Yeah.
And so this movie is basically the same plot as Mad Max Fury Road.
In a way, yeah. It's very close. It's very close.
Yeah. There's like these like gangs that are like Imogen Joe and you know, the bookkeeper.
Dennis Hopper is insane in this movie. He plays the head of the smokers. He's so funny.
Did Dennis Hopper pass?
He did recently, like in the last 10 years.
So, like, think about this run he was on, right? Like, he was like Bowser in the Super Mario Brothers movie. Yeah. And then he was this bad guy in Waterworld, like all of these just like huge budget blockbuster disasters, kind of.
Shouldn't make fun of him. He wouldn't like it.
Girl, I don't give a shit what he'd like. He took out my eye. And if I ever see him again, I'm gonna cut open his head and I'm gonna eat his brain. You think he'd like that?
He was in Speed.
Yeah, he was great in Speed. But he goes for it, man. Like, you got to give him props. You know, he's working with dog shit, and he's going hard, you know?
Yeah, so his filmography goes Super Mario Brothers, 1993. Speed, 1994.
Nice.
Waterworld, 1995.
Wow, what a run right there, man. That's legendary.
And then Space Truckers in 1996.
Oh, I don't know that. Do you know Space
Truckers? I don't know that either. And then I'm trying to find a 1997 here. But anyway, yeah. So Dennis Hopper, shout out to you. Should we get into Hot Takes, Hotcakes?
Yeah, let's do it.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
My hot take is, you know, someone should have taught a man to fish. Because this is Waterworld here, and they're all like, oh, we have no food. Oh, yeah, we get no food. There's nothing but water. Just catch a damn fish. How hard can it be to catch some fish and feed yourself? Am I wrong on this?
No. So
the biggest ocean that's ever been seen.
Yeah.
Society is basically destroyed, so we don't have overfishing.
No one's fishing. There's no fishing scenes. Other than he fishes with his own body, you know?
Fishes with his own body to catch a giant sea monster.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. And is he a cannibal for doing that?
Maybe. He's more of like a shark, man. Because he's eating other fish, you know, like lesser creatures. But you have to think the mercury content that all of these people have must be very high. Because the only sustenance they're getting are like tomatoes and fish, right? They all have tomato plants and...
Is that a tomato plant?
Yeah. You have a keen eye.
Saw one in a picture. How much?
Cap your chits.
Yeah, it also seems like they could... You know, it's like you have a tomato plant. That seems to be like the most prized possession of that entire atoll.
Right.
Like, there was that recent thing on Twitter, right, where, you know, the guy's talking about, did you see this thread where the question was, would you rather have given $1 million or $50 for the rest of your,
for
the rest of your
there's
life?
Just some fucking just, morons.
Like, it would take, like, $500 years for you to get $1 million that way. People are like, no, you don't get it. Take $50, you buy 50 tomato plants. You grow those plants, and then all of a sudden you plant them again, you get 300 tomato plants. Then you get those again, then you got 1.7 million tomato plants. And it's like this is why $50 is better than $1 million.
Well, you get $1 million and you buy a tomato farm.
And also, where are you planting these 1 million tomato plants? How are you harvesting them?
Who are you paying to harvest?
Are you growing them year round? You know, like,
it's unbelievable. Those guys were, and they just didn't get like the value of money. It's so funny. I got a good hot take for you.
But it seems like this logic could have helped out here. So this is a long hot take, but you know, teach a man to fish.
Let's... Yeah. Hot take. Drinking your piss is pretty cool to me. The movie starts with Costner just drinking his piss. And if that's the very first scene is a guy pissing into a bottle and drinking it, you know you're gonna have a good movie on your hands. And I think that's I wish more movies would start with the main character drinking his own piss. You know who we're starting with. This guy is desperate. He's on his, you know, it's pretty cool. And I think that in non-survival situations, people should also still consider drinking piss, you know?
Let's get some of the Yellow River Boys tracks in here.
Honky Tonk Piss Club is the only place for me.
Okay. You have a hot cake, Dave.
So I thought this was a really cool idea by the director, in that when they were invading the atoll, the smokers, they just had ramps and they would just drive their jet skis up the ramps and stuff. And I was thinking, why isn't that technology applied to things like Lord of the Rings, where you could just take a ramp and run over the ramp and run over the wall, you know, instead of...
Yeah, like have your horse, like, run up the ramp and jump.
Yeah. Why is it, you know, and in the past in human history, why aren't ramps, like a large ramp-like situation, why aren't those being used more? You know, like, what if you were invading, I don't know, Rome?
Yeah, they're always using ladders. Yeah. Just put a ramp.
Get a large ramp. You could just mosey on up the ramp. And then,
like Helm's Deep, there's a big ramp leading right up to it. Yeah, like, but there's a door at the end. Yeah. So just bring your
bypass
own ramp.
Bypass the door, bring your own ramp, you know? And then
just put it on the wall. Yeah,
you know, no one does not merely walk into Mordor.
Wait, this is your hot cake.
Yeah, it's my hot cake. Ramps. Large ramps for invading, ramps. You know?
I like it.
Like ramps? Yeah, I don't know. But I saw that ramp. I was just like, man. If Frodo and Sam had a ramp, they could have walked into Mordor and just dropped off the ring, you know?
You shall not pass! Lego, the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Your hot cake. I think I made you speechless with that great idea right there.
My hot cake is his badass boat that, like, sets its own sails.
Oh, it's such a cool boat. Dude, he has the coolest boat.
Yeah. They're like, you'll never catch him with your sails down. And he's like, click a button and just like...
Yeah.
That was clearly designed to just, like, sell toys. And that's what I love about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's why there's that long-ass scene of, like, the boat extending its own sails. Clearly, they're like, we need to sell some toys with this, so let's make a really cool boat that we can build a toy that, like, launches itself, you know, like the sails hide and then, like, spring into action.
Clearly, we need to advertise this movie to children, so let's have a pedophile try to sleep with the girl that has a map on her back and, you know, all this type of stuff, too.
Do you think, like, the world in the 90s was, like, a lot less afraid of pedophiles?
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
Like the church stuff hadn't really come out yet.
Right.
The Jeffrey Epstein stuff hadn't come out yet. The Jerry Sandusky stuff hadn't come out yet. JonBenet Ramsey was like kind of a new I don't know, was there any pedophilia going on there?
I don't know, but
JonBenet Ramsey, they did murder her, so it's the same thing.
Polanski probably is probably like the most famous case back then. And maybe Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, and they still gave him an Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Woody Allen, too. And they just let those guys go by. Right? They did nothing to those guys, so.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Nicholson was there when it happened.
Was he?
Like, he was with Polanski on the night that he slept with the 14-year-old.
Jack Nicholson was there?
Yes.
Oh, no way. That's wild.
Just in the house. And Jack Nicholson is just fine. Everyone still loves him, right?
Oh, shit. I love Jack Nicholson. I had no idea.
Yeah. He was just there hanging out. That was just Hollywood in those days.
But Baron Bowie did the same thing. Like, Bowie was just banging, like, real young girls. Like, really, really upsetting.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Maybe, and maybe this movie is commenting on it, that it's bad, because Kevin Costner is willing to sell the older woman into prostitution, but not the younger one, which is...
But didn't he know he was going to go save her?
No. At first, he's like, you know what? Fuck this lady. Go bang that guy. Earn your place on this boat. And then he had a change of heart.
I think so. I think he was planning on just, like, rescuing her the whole time.
To trick her into liking him? You think he's, like, devious?
And maybe there's, like, a little cuck situation going on here. Maybe he wanted to see him getting it on.
Oh, my God. I think it was more of, like, trying to, you know. He's a bad guy in this movie. I mean, he's not a good guy.
He's an anti-hero, yeah.
Yeah. But
he's a murderer.
The worst part of this movie is when Enola is like, you don't even know him. When she's like talking to Dennis Hopper and Kevin Costner is just like slaughtering smokers. He's like, he'll sneak up behind you before you even hear him. And like, you know, she's like building up the lore of the Mariner. And, yeah, and all
this is like her own little lower corner.
Yeah, she's having a lower corner.
He doesn't sleep. And he has six legs.
He pisses in two streams. You know, I don't know what that means.
They say he can kill 10 smokers with a single bound.
He exclusively drinks his own piss.
Nothing but piss.
Yeah.
See, well, also, isn't he a fish? We were talking about this a little bit offline.
He's a fish. He's arguably more man than fish, but he's still a fish.
So is that why he drinks his own piss? Because technically fish just swim in the ocean, and the ocean is basically fish piss.
Well, if you can breathe water through your gills, that means it's entering into your body somewhere. Why can't you?
And it's separating the hydrogen and oxygen and taking the oxygen.
And it's doing something.
So the hydrogen is going back out, and you're keeping the oxygen from the water. But yeah, do fish have to drink as well? Are they like,
I don't
know. All right, well, that one's going to my breath, and this one's going to my belly.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm thirsty.
So, I mean, how does he get dehydrated and stuff? He's a fish. Fish don't get dehydrated. They might need electrolytes, but then they have salt water. So, you know, it's basically they live in a Gatorade bowl, you know?
Yeah, so fish absorb water through their skin and gills in a process called osmosis. Mm.
So he would be absorbing the water. So he shouldn't need, you know.
Why does he even have a boat?
Why does he have a boat? Yeah, he could just be swimming around. It could be the fish guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can breathe in the water. Yeah, this is stupid. Why is he even sailing?
Why is he even sailing? Why is this movie being made? You know what I mean? Like, it.
Movie sucks.
Unironically love this movie, though. I just think it kicks ass. It's so over the top. It's brave with how bad it is.
I have to say, it's better than any DC movie that I've seen.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Todd, but this blows Justice League out of the water. And maybe we should talk quickly on the Ulysses Cut and what that is.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'll
let you go. Is this a director's corner? This has
to be, right? It is. It has to be a director's corner, right? So let's open that up.
So, director's corner.
My favorite thing when we were talking about this movie last night and you start looking into it is the existence of a Snyder-esque cut called the Ulysses Cut of Waterworld. And how it came into fruition was that the movie is 2 hours and 17 minutes, which for us is like a breath of fresh air because everything we've been watching this season is like 4 hours. But this movie's 2 hours and 17 minutes, and when it was aired on TV, they aired unused footage for the movie. It was cut down quite a bit for the theatrical release, and it was about 3 hours on TV. And then, apparently, when it was aired on TV in Italy, there was additional 17 minutes or something like that. So there's about an hour of extra footage to this movie.
Because the movie was more popular overseas than it was in the U.S. It was actually basically a success in foreign markets.
Which makes sense, because you could see Italians really identifying with the fish man, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. And, you know, just the kind of the greasy look, but.
And we should note that the China market was not open yet. They were not publishing foreign films yet in China.
This movie would have made a killing in China. They would have loved this in China, you know?
There would have been like one Chinese like chick.
Oh yeah,
that like, or like maybe the guy with the Zeppelin would have been like Chinese.
Okay,
because a lot of times they write in like the Chinese saving the day into these movies.
Oh totally. They just make Grigor instead of like a weird Russian sounding guy. Just make him a, you know, Jay Chow or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, like. So this movie, they cut it together. This one guy, what was his username? It was like R something.
McFly89.
Yeah, McFly89, which is great. And
so he took like the DVD and he took the VHS recordings of like various alternate broadcasts scattered across the globe. Like in Mexico, the censorship laws for broadcasts aren't as intense as the US. So the extended version was broadcast there with the violent scene still in it. So he did like the sound editing, you know, recut, using all the footage available to him and added like 45 minutes to the movie.
It's just incredible effort by this one guy to, and no one asked for it. You know, no one asked him to do this. Unlike the Snyder Cut, where you had these nerds clamoring for the release of a 4-hour pile of garbage, you had this movie that was largely, I guess, forgotten, if you will. I don't think a lot of people think about Waterworld. And this guy just spent so much time, you know, cobbling together a movie. And I think that's awesome. That's like a true director, you know, probably a bigger.
Yeah,
that's like a amazing, you know, one
that's like makes what we do on the Director's Corner seem really lame.
It does.
You know, we talk the talk, but we do not walk the walk. We don't actually go back and reshoot and recut these films with our suggestions.
No, which maybe we should. I do have one suggestion, though, to make this movie better while we're in the corner.
Yeah.
And I just want you to imagine in the middle of the movie when they're swooping down into the ground, if suddenly they flash back to this scene where it's a college football game and it's snowing really, really heavily. And
Kevin Costner is the running back.
He's the running back. And it's really slow for whatever reason. It's just this really slow football game. And he's just dodging all of the stuff, right? He's dodging all the
crowd is all holograms.
All holograms. And, you know, he's dodging all the staff and or the not the staff, the other team.
And someone grabs a hold of his gill to try and tackle him.
But he gets loose and he scores a touchdown. And then
he's slippery like a fish.
Yeah. And then he's swimming back home with his mom in like a. And then
the smokers.
The smokers hit his mom and paralyze him. And then he wakes up and it's his fish dad and it's cut off his dick.
But added an anal
fin. Added an anal fin. And he's like, what did you do?
And the pelvic fin.
He's like, I made you a fish cyborg or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
I think that would have been.
That'd be pretty good.
That'd have been pretty good. And he'd be like, that's why I have gills or something like that. You know, like okay. He could have talked.
So I guess no gills in the football match. Just
no, he did, but they were like vestigial. So they weren't completely like operational.
Maybe that guy tugged it and kind of like ripped it open.
Yeah. That gave his dad like the credit for it.
Do you think that, The Shape of Water was a prequel to this movie? Cause like 100%. That chick is like,
yeah,
it's kind of like she has gills too, right?
That she might have been his mom, you know, mating with the fish guy, you know.
And once people realize there's like seamen,
nice,
like swimming around, like they like they start a nuclear war and like the polar ice caps melt, maybe.
I think so.
Okay, and we solved it.
Yeah.
Corner. Should we get into brunchiness?
Yeah, let's do it. I think this is super brunchy. I really do. I mean, it's all open water. It's beautiful looking. It's entirely takes place during the day. There's not even a storm scene. You know what I mean? There's not a single like, hey, a typhoon is coming. It's all just beautiful.
Yeah, they probably couldn't film if it was, because it was all actually on water. So probably if there was a storm, they're like, fuck this. We're not going to like risk the lives of our actors, right?
I didn't think about
that. It wasn't like they were doing this in sound stages.
That's true. I guess they would want to only do it in beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Apparently one of the reasons the movie was so over budget was because there was a storm that like fucked everything up. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you're missing out on a storm scene, but you're getting a great brunch movie in that it's really just daylight. It's a heroic story other than like the pedophile guy and the murder and the,
well, it's an anti-hero. So I don't know, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think this movie's brunchy. I think it does get the daylight, but it doesn't have the hallmarks of brunch movies where there's almost no humor in this. I guess the bad guys are kind of humorous.
Dennis Hopper's funny in this movie, man. The smokers are are funny.
But there's not much whimsy in this movie, I would say.
There's no divorce.
Well, it's divorce from reality.
Divorce from land. But yeah, I see what you mean. Look, I'm not saying it's a traditional brunch movie, but I'm saying among epic movies, it felt brunchy to me.
Mm. Yeah, I'm still going to go with not brunchy. You know, but what's your score?
I'm going to do 5.5. 5.5.
Okay.
There's very if there was more food and stuff, it could get up more up there, you know. But there's basically they're just eating raw fish or something, you know, like that's basically the only, or tomatoes.
Yeah, and I don't know, when I think about a man with webbed foot or woman,
right.
I kind of lose my appetite.
Wow.
So if you've got webbed feet out there,
Annie's not interested.
It's time to kill you, Muto. It's time to lock you in a cage and lower you into this wet mud.
So they have wet mud, so they know what dirt is. What do they think that is?
I think they're making dirt. It's like they put all their dead in there and like they slowly decompose into dirt.
It's just a body pit?
It must smell awful. Oof. Yeah. It's just like inside their atoll. It's like, yeah, let's just put this right in the middle of the atoll where we put all our dead.
That makes sense. Maybe they all shit in there?
Yeah, they shit in there. They piss in there. They fucking there.
Oh, it's a little bit. Grigor, get away from the fuck pit. Yeah.
Pure dirt. 3.2 kilos. How'd you come by so much of it?
Another atoll 30 horizons west of here.
Where'd they get it?
They didn't say.
Okay, that was great. What's your pairing, man?
All right, so this is the in the spirit of Waterworld, and because this isn't very brunchy, it can't be a very enjoyable brunch. So you're at brunch, okay, and you get seated right away, which is weird because this is, you know, usually you're waiting in line for brunch. You get seated right away. Your server comes over, says, "I'll be right with you," and first she puts down glasses in front of everyone, fills them up with some, you know, ice water from a pitcher, and you're thinking, okay, well at least we got our water, right? But they didn't even give you any menus, right? So you're kind of looking around like, what the hell is going on? You can't find your waiter. And then like another waiter comes over a little bit later and like refills your glass with water. Mm. So you got plenty of water.
Right.
And so you're drinking your water, you're waiting, you're kind of wondering what's happening. Then like another waiter comes by and like fills your glass more, but like overfills your glass. So it's like spilling over. And then they sprinkle some salt in each of your glasses, and you're like, well, this is fucked up. I don't want to drink salt water. And then like another waiter comes out, and this time they just have a bucket of salt water. Wow. It's not even ice water anymore. Just clearly it's kind of murky.
Brackish.
They just start pouring, yeah, this brackish water into your already full glass, and it's just like spilling over onto the table into your lap. Next they come out and, you know, then they just toss a whole bucket of water onto your table, and eventually they just bring a hose in and just start hosing you down.
Oh, wow.
And you're just soaking wet, and there's just water all over the place, and yeah, you never eat brunch. It's just too much water.
you're basically being drowned at the table.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to pay extra to be waterboarded.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that sounds
so. Eventually, yeah, you're just damp, and like there's like an inch of water on the floor, and you know, finally your waiter comes over back with the normal water and just pours an entire pitcher of water into your cup, which is already full, and you're just like, all right, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting out enough of this. I'm wet enough.
Water world. Water.
I wish he would have said that. I've had, you know, when they found dry land, it's
enough
like,
with this water world.
Okay, my pairing is, it's called the Ulysses brunch.
The Ulysses?
Ulysses brunch.
Nice.
And for those that are unaware, Universal Studios in Japan has a Waterworld themed park or ride attraction, which is unbelievable. And what it is for the pairing is you go to this park on, let's say, August 16th, in the middle of a bone, it's 103 degrees and 90% humidity. And you think, oh, Waterworld, they're going to give you a lot of water. But in fact, they don't. And you get really, really dehydrated to the point of nearly dying. And all you keep thinking is, man, I really could go for some water. And they just keep don't giving it to you. And it's like almost like a...
Well, they should go to my brunch spot.
Right, right. Your brunch spot sounds like where they'd like to be, you know, instead of dying from thirst at Universal Studios Waterworld. And then it's wild because so you're really thirsty, but you're surrounded by water. It's kind of like an ocean because Waterworld, all the explosions are happening. Sometimes a little drip comes and on your tongue, and then it tastes really bad because it's like Kevin Costner sweat. He still does the show in Japan. Kevin Costner, he stars in it himself.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and then he's big in Japan. He's real huge here. And in the end of this brunch is when you're really, really dehydrated. You're like, finally, you know, I can leave Universal Studios. I can go get some Gatorade or Aquarius or Bacardi Sweat. As Kevin Costner sneaks up behind you and just slits your throat and you die. And that's the.
But what he's really doing is giving you gills,
right? Oh, and then now you can breathe underwater. But unfortunately,
no, you still die.
You still die. Yeah, you choke on your own blood
with gills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Technically, anyone who's ever had their throat slashed is a fish.
Oh, what is that called? The
technically
Glasgow smile, right? When they, I don't know.
To be called, you're a fish.
You're a fish. So that's my pairing, man. It's similar to yours. Mine's you're lacking water, but you want it. Yours is you have too much.
Mine is too much water.
Too much water.
That's good. Yeah. That's the yin and yang of water world, really.
Maybe in the end, this movie needed more water. Who knows? You know.
Or in the end, we all just need to drink our own piss.
Yeah. There's not enough piss drinking in this movie, though. I really wish there's...
One more thought before we sign off here. Yeah. Just going to quick update. Panthalassan Ocean is what it was called.
Oh, did they actually have a word?
Yeah, so Pangaea is from Greek, with pan meaning all, and Gaea or Gaia meaning earth. And so Panthalassan is all, and thalassa meaning sea.
That's right, like thalassophobia is fear of the ocean, right? So that makes sense. Mm. Panthalassan.
So the Panthalassan Ocean, or sometimes the Panthalassic Ocean. And sometimes people even call it the Paleo-Pacific.
That's a layer.
Now we have the Proto-Pacific because, yeah.
That's
because it was kind of the Panthalassic Ocean basically became the Pacific.
Interesting.
Or so they want us to believe.
Yeah, that's big ocean talking, you know?
Yeah. Well, Dave, I'm excited to talk to you again. I think we'll have to save it to next week, but I do want to get an update on Dave's Conspiracy Corner now that aliens are real.
Yeah, that's actually right? A big thing, man. We should discuss that.
So,
yeah.
So we'll talk about that in a future episode.
Cool, man. Well, have a good one.
All right.
Hey, everyone. Keep on sipping
your own piss.
Keep on sipping your own piss, guys.